So good morning. I want to welcome you to City Gates, and I want you to know that people are away. It's summer, but I want you to know I prepared just as if this place was packed to the gills. So you're important. I think hopefully what I share today is helpful for all of us, and so I'm super privileged to have a chance to do this. Vic and Tan, if you don't know, are away. We were very excited about them wanting to see more of our country, and let's never forget that Vic and Tan have come from a different nation. They've imported children to our land that have known South Africa. And so when I knew they wanted to go to the East Coast, I was really excited, because I think falling in love with a country, even if you feel called to that country, is a process. And I was really, really in my heart felt like this is part of their falling in love with Canada, to see our nation. It's who's ever kind of, anyone driven across our country? Like, fully? Okay. I basically have done full across, not in one shot. I've done east, and then we did west. It is an astounding country we have. It is absolutely astounding. And I know we all want a vacation in Europe, and we want to go to Florida, and we want to do all those things, but honestly, this country is worth seeing. If you haven't seen this country, the expanse of it, and you know, you can go right across and still see just 2% of the country, really. It's a fabulous country, and I just feel like this is a part of their journey as new Canadians. So, all right, so we pray for them. They'll have a great time. So we're going to be talking today, we're starting a series of messages throughout the summer, where we're going to look at either parables or the wisdom passages from Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and some of Psalms. And I'm going to kick off by looking at the book of Proverbs. I'm going to kind of do more of a general overview. Starting point that I want us all to reference as we think about Proverbs is that understanding the gospel, the good news, and what Jesus has done for us has to be the filter in which we look through Proverbs. It has to be. Otherwise, Proverbs becomes simply a book of do's and don'ts. And it is a book of do's and don'ts. That's why I love it, because it's practical, and I'm a super practical person. I was a failed New Ager. I never had any experiences. Everybody else was pretending they had experiences, and I just said, no, nothing's changed in my life. And if it wasn't practical, I wasn't gonna follow it. The reason I'm a Christian today is because Jesus touched my life, and I knew I'd changed. It was practical. It was tangible. I'm a very practical person. So I've always loved Proverbs from the time I became a Christian 32 years ago. So why is it, if we don't look at it through the lens of the gospel, I'll give you an example. Do's and don'ts, it's not a good way to live just on the basis of don't do something or just do something. You know, we love to tell our kids, do it, why? Because I said so. Yeah, I know we have parental authority, but actually kids need more than that. They need understanding as to why they have to do it. So if, for example, our motivation for both doing and not doing is not a love for Jesus, if it's not motivated by that, as an example, if somebody is tempted to be unfaithful to their spouse, but the primary reason they don't do it is the fear of getting caught and the consequences of that, the motivation will probably fail at some point when their marriage is bad enough or when the temptation is strong enough. Better men than you and I have fallen, even though they knew the wrong from right and the do's and the don'ts. Better men and women. However, if we are so enraptured by Jesus' love for us, which is really what Brett shared earlier, even when we are unattractive in our own eyes and undesirable in our own eyes, and others would surely be more attractive and desirable to him in our eyes, then in response to his faithfulness, he still wants us, even though we're unfaithful. He still wants us. He still bestows his love upon us. He's still passionate about us. In response to that, we want to be faithful to our spouses. Makes sense? That's yes, there are consequences. I'm going to talk about that in a bit as we go through Proverbs. There are consequences, but if you live your life trying not to do things because you don't want a bad consequence, that is not motivation enough. There's people in the world who are way better than us at doing that. There has to be something deeper. It has to be fueled by an understanding of what Jesus has done for us. Anyway, that being said, I really do have, you're going to laugh, I have 40 points today. 40. I'm not kidding. Okay, I know. People are shaking their head. This is, hey, fix it away. What the heck? Go back to the old days. But, sorry, I get it. But over the years, Proverbs has deeply impacted me on a personal level, a family level, on a business level, and a church level. And so I want to share, for me, it's going to be point form, so don't worry. I'm not going to be here till 2 o'clock or something. I don't think so, but if God leads, you never know. And so it's something which is a passionate kind of pursuit of mine over the years, has been looking into Proverbs. And I'm going to be sharing 32 years of being a Christian in 40 points about what God has shown me, I'm learning and have learned through Proverbs. And we all know, I'm not going to spend a lot of time giving you background. Who wrote Proverbs mostly? Mostly? Who? Okay, Solomon, if not all, mostly. Some people think he wrote all or dictated. Anyway, you can go and wrestle with that in commentaries if you find it's helpful. A proverb, in summary, is a short statement that summarizes a wise principle. Short statement that summarizes a wise principle. And really, if you understand the beginning of Proverbs, we'll look at the beginning of it in a second as one of the passages, but right from Proverbs 1. But there is wisdom from above, the Bible talks about, and then there's wisdom from beneath. So earthly wisdom. James talks about the difference between the two of them. And it says in James, the wisdom from above is pure, peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you can bring that up, please, for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 28 to 31. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. And so when we become Christ followers, if you have had that moment where Jesus became Lord of your life, he came into your life and you were transformed, you received his wisdom in your life at that point. He is wisdom. The wise one came to live inside of us. And so my question through all my years of being a Christian is, if this is indeed the case, why do we continue to make unwise decisions? And why do we continue to regulate our lives in unwise ways? Don't we? I've been around this thing a lot. I've spoken to a lot of people. I've made a lot of screw-ups. Why did I do that? Why did I make bad choices? And I think there's two reasons. First of all, I think we don't ask God enough to show us his wisdom when life's challenges come our way or life's decisions come our way. We don't ask him. James 1, he talks about us being in trials. Says, if any man or woman lacks wisdom, what? Let him ask. And he gives without withholding from us. So we don't ask him enough. We use our human natural wisdom to make decisions at critical moments in our life, and we do not stop and say, God, what do I do? We don't do that. We just go to our default mechanism, the way we did it, the way our parents did it, the way our best friends do it. That's what we tend to do. And so that's the wisdom from this earth a lot of time, or the wisdom from beneath. Secondly, I don't think we feed ourselves properly with the wisdom that's from above. We don't feed ourselves. Many of us are heavyweights in our chosen professions and lightweights in the scriptures. Heavyweights. I can talk to you about your career and you can tell me stuff that is incredible. Your knowledge, your capacity is amazing. And you don't even know one scripture, or maybe three, you know. So obviously, heavyweights in things that we feel are important and lightweights in the things that are really important, where we actually gain the wisdom from above. All right, let me give you this is really the summary of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1. As we read all through Proverbs, this is what Proverbs is going to do for us. If you can bring the next slide up, please. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 to 6. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instructions in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, and knowledge and discretion to the youth. Young people, this is for you. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. So that's really what this is for. It's to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help us understand the insights of the wise, to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives. Who doesn't want that? None of you. I know you all do. You don't have to put your hand up. And these proverbs will give us insight to the simple. All right, so my goal from today is to accomplish 40 points in about 20 minutes. And more than that is actually to allow you to become intrigued by Proverbs, to become intrigued by it, and to make a decision to look for godly wisdom within her pages. So what I'm doing in point form is what I have learned or am learning. So don't think I've learned it. I may have learned it or I may be learning it. So for the sake of time, if I don't say learning and learned, doesn't mean I know it all. Okay, you got that? You're all right? Give me some grace there. So if I just say learn, it doesn't mean I know it. Okay, you got that? I don't want to repeat myself. Okay, so in no particular order, and understand this, that when I was going through Proverbs and pulling out the points, I could have brought 10 points for each point. There is so much in Proverbs. It is a lifetime study. You will never exhaust it. It's like you read it, and then you read it again. It's like you read it for the first time, the second time. And you read it for the fifth time, and the sixth time. It's like you're reading it for the first time. It is absolutely an amazing, amazing collection of thoughts. All right, first point. I have learned, and I'm learning, that a healthy fear or reverence for God is the starting point for both true knowledge and wisdom. It's the starting point. And that's found in Proverbs 1:7 and 9:10. So it is not, it's the beginning of learning true knowledge, and the beginning of learning true wisdom is a fear, a reverence for God. All right. Some I'll expound on, some I'll just read out. Secondly, I've learned that I can trust God's leading and direction for my present and my future life. Proverbs 3, verse 5, most of us have that on our fridge. But I will tell you this, I really do trust that God leads me and controls my life. And I've stopped making timelines for things to be accomplished in the timeline I expected to be accomplished. Because I do trust God. I do trust His timing. And I do trust that He will lead us. I've also learned, and I'm learning, that honoring God and living generously financially with my money actually does allow me to live life with confidence that in both good and bad economic times, we're going to be fine. And that's Proverbs 3, verse 9. You know, we've run a business for years, 30-something years in business, 32 years, I think. And we've learned over the years that when things are difficult or challenging or economics are slow, we sow. We just we'll send our crews out and just bless people. Because I absolutely do trust that God is generous to us as we're generous. It's not a cheap prosperity gospel. That's just how we live. Honor the Lord with your first fruits. He says your barns will be filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. New wine. Proverbs. Yeah, all right. We've also learned that God's word is more than just a book. His words are life and bring hope even in the darkest times when those words are fully embraced. Sometimes it requires darkness for God's word to really spring in our lives. Proverbs 4, 20 to 23. Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 helped keep me on track during the challenges that every marriage faces and when I wondered what life would be like. Sorry to say this, hon. It has once come across my mind in 37 years of marriage. When I wondered what life would be like with somebody else. Or when I was tempted to enter the fantasy world of pornography to find a surrogate wife, the words of promise that I would get wounds and dishonor and my disgrace would never be wiped away, Proverbs 6:33, were a bullhorn in my ears. These three proverbs also became great parental tools in talking to my boys about sexual purity. If you want to talk to a young person, or you want young people to understand sexual purity and why it's important, just get them to read Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. I learned not to co-sign with anyone, even my kids, unless I was prepared to fully take on the debt myself. Proverbs 6, 1 to 5. Somebody close to me asked me if I would co-sign on something, and I loved them dearly, and I had to say no, because I wasn't prepared to take on their debt. I learned that a good work ethic is to be embraced, and laziness is to be rooted out of my life completely. Proverbs 6:6-11. Good work ethic is not just an old-fashioned value, it's a biblical value. Laziness is not a very attractive thing. I learned that when God says he hates something, that thing will be incredibly damaging to his creation. Proverbs 6 says there's 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him, and goes to a haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and it goes down. But the number 7 is he who sows discord among brothers. And I've seen it over the years. I've seen the damage that loose words have caused and how relationships have been absolutely destroyed because people have taken something which God hates and embraced as something that they enjoy doing. They sow discord among brothers. God hates it. He hates it because it damages us and hurts his bride. More lessons. I learned that God's wisdom is really better than jewels. You know, it's allowed me to walk away from money I could have made, but ultimately it would have been at a heavy cost. I've walked away from many things over the years because I felt like it would compromise who I was, and I felt like I may be able to get money, more money up front, but at the end of the day it would hurt me and hurt my family. Next one, in my business life, I've learned that long-term diligence is more effective than erratic short-term bursts. I also learned not to do cash deals and have 2 sets of books. I would rather live with less, knowing that God's favor is upon it, and it does not have the sorrow attached to it that wealth gained by other means does. I don't want to live with skeletons in my closet and live my life looking over my shoulder. Ronald Biggs, the great train robber from the UK, escaped to Brazil. And finally, he was found. The Daily Express followed him over there to do a story, and then Scotland Yard followed him, and this cop knocked on the door. And the words that Ronald Biggs said were that I've been dreading the knock since my escape. You know, if you keep 2 sets of books and you're not honest and you don't declare your money, you live always fearful of the knock on the door. I learned that getting other people's perspective is helpful. Proverbs 11:14. I ask lots of people lots of questions. I'm a question asker. I ask lots of people lots of questions because I love to get other people's perspectives. I am learning that correction is not rejection. Proverbs 12:1. Even though loving to be disciplined still seems a stretch. How many people say love to be disciplined? I do not love it, but I'm learning that correction is not rejection. I have learned that words are powerful. The tongue can be either a source of healing, restoration of relationship, or it can be a weapon of mass destruction. Proverbs 12, verse 18. If I looked over you and just rested my eyes, it was completely accidental. I just made eye contact with Nadine. I'm thinking like, she probably, no, it's not Nadine. I didn't mean to rest my eyes on Nadine. Unless I should have, no. We have learned and have taught our kids that dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. All my kids, if you ask them that passage, they will sing it to you because we used to teach our kid Proverbs in these terrible songs, and they still know it to this day. If I ask Edwina to stand up, she would sing it for you, but I will not allow that to happen for everybody's sake. So I've learned because of that, don't always look for the big and the spectacular. Saving a little from every check, paying an extra payment on that mortgage makes a difference. Little by little, as against always looking for the big deal. Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Close, guys. I'm doing really well. I've learned and taught my boys that we become who we hang with. Proverbs 13, verse 20. I've always sought out people that can help and influence me, whether it be regarding family matters, business, church, leadership, etc. I drove to Ottawa to have breakfast with somebody once because I wanted to ask them questions. We become who we hang with, young people. That's why I'm most excited about Young Life, because our Young Life has given our young people a chance to hang together and develop healthy relationships. Because if you're not intentional about who you hang with, you'll end up hanging with people that are probably not helpful. You have to be intentional. We learned that it is bad parenting not to discipline our children from Proverbs, but rather discipline is just as much a part of loving them as being affectionate is, Proverbs 13:24. One of the greatest things we can teach our children is that there is a consequence for breaking the rules, and as the scripture says, if we don't teach them that, as a dog returns to its vomit, what a beautiful picture, so a fool will return to its folly. So we teach our kids. I've always taught them. There's a consequence to breaking the rules. I learned that taking care, and I'm learning that taking care of the poor and needy is right and is God's way. And in some way, God smiles on us when we take care of the disadvantaged. It's an amazing principle. So, you know, I know it's difficult to say who are the poor in our society. I know it's difficult. But don't always close your heart to the guy who's on the street corner. Don't always close your heart. If you have loose change, give them some loose change. Just make it a habit to be generous to poor people. It's kind of God's way. I learned that arguing with people is rarely helpful, 15 verse 1, especially on social media. Don't need to say anymore. So many times I want to get in arguments on social media, and I just realize it's just not wise. I've just never seen it ever turn out well. But I'm going to try it one day just to see if maybe I could win at least one of these arguments. All right. We learned that hospitality is powerful and not dependent on how much we have. Proverbs 15, verse 17. You know, we say to people, how come you never invite us over? They say, oh, my home, oh, this. Guys, we had people in our basement apartment when we had no money, almost no food, and we had no tabletop. We had a wicker table. I think you've heard the story, some of you. We had a wicker table that was like this. The wicker was all sagging, and one of the kids, or me, probably me, broke the glass tabletop. And so we had people come and sit around our sloping wicker table. So they start off with the plate in front of them, and by the end of the meal, we basically placed them in exchange because they would go in the dip of the table. So we didn't start when we had more. We started when we had nothing. And that's better as a dinner with herbs than much whatever. You know it is. I gave you the quote. You should have written it down already. So, all right, Proverbs 15:17. We've learned to plan in life, yet hold those plans loosely as we ask God for his guidance every step of the way. Christianity doesn't mean you don't plan. It means you plan and you say, God, I'm planning, but I trust that if you want to change my plans, my hands are open. I am not joined to the hip to my plan, just so you know. But it doesn't mean you don't plan. I have learned to be fair, I think, with everyone in my business life. Proverbs 16, verse 11. When I first started my business, I asked a guy how he charges for his business. And his quote to me, I will never forget it, is he said, I charge by the length of the driveway. So basically, he would look at how wealthy a person was and adjust his pricing accordingly. We don't do that. I don't think it's honest. It's also really confusing from a business perspective. I have learned that pride is a dreadful, sinful, and dangerous thing, and it needs to be rooted out of my life every day. Proverbs 16, verse 18. I have learned that strife is like a cancer that eats away inside of us, and so it must be headed off quickly. Proverbs 17, verse 14. Strife becomes unforgiveness, becomes bitterness. Bitterness rots the bones, Hebrews says. I have learned that if I'm doing something I probably shouldn't be doing, I will do it alone and without asking anybody else for input. Proverbs 18, verse 1. and I will get very defensive if anybody asks me about it. A word to the wise, I think. I've learned that gossip is actually a delicious meal that will end up causing an upset stomach. Proverbs 18, verse 8. Being either the giver or the receiver of gossip is equally repugnant. I've learned there's two sides to every story, and so I have learned to resist the temptation to jump to conclusions until I've heard both parts. He who states his case first seems right until his rival cross-examines him. Proverbs 18:17. He who answers a matter before he hears the facts, to him it is folly and shame. I have learned that drinking alcohol in moderation is biblically acceptable, but being under the influence of, if you're of age, but being under the influence of it never is. Proverbs 20, verse 1. I've learned that being trustworthy is a high value. Keeping confidences as long as it won't hurt somebody is important. Proverbs 20, 19. I've learned not to always trust my own heart. How do I know my heart and my motives are pure? We always say my motives are pure, and I would say, how do you know that? God says, I'm the one who judges the heart, not you. You don't even know what's in your heart. We don't even know what's in our heart. We are so twisted in how we build up cases for things that we don't even know if our hearts are pure. Proverbs 21, verse 2. I have learned that a good name is more to be desired than great riches. And that is a mission statement for our business. So I've learned over the years, I say, I'll do anything. I tell a guy, I will do anything to have a good name with a client. I'll do stuff for free. I'll fix any problem. I'll do whatever it takes. Because for me, a good name is more to be desired than great riches. I have learned that debt is dangerous and puts us in a defensive position. Proverbs 22, verse 7. The borrower is slave to the lender. You know, when that credit card company offers to give you another card and give you an increased balance, it's not because they like you. If you look in the back, encrypted in it, you have to hold it up against the sun, you'll see a pair of handcuffs right on the back of that card. You check it up against the light, you'll just see, very faint, just a pair of handcuffs right there. The rich rule over the poor, but the borrower is a slave to the lender. I am learning that excessive working, stroke, corporate ladder climbing, and accumulation of stuff is folly and meaningless. There are a few exceptions. Like when I say this, you know the fly fishing equipment is completely, you know that's completely out of bounds in this conversation, right? Do I need to qualify that? I don't, right? Okay, cool. Let me read it again and just take that category out. I'm learning that excessive working, stroke, corporate ladder climbing, accumulation of stuff is folly and meaningless, Proverbs 23, verse 4 and 5, and that the motivation to get more stuff is jealousy, envy, and insecurity. It's right there. I've learned that stinginess is not an admirable quality, Proverbs 23, verse 6. Now I look to Leslie. I didn't mean to, Leslie. I look down the first person. I'm like, oh, gee. I'm not going to look at you on some of these things because they're super generous people. All right. I'm almost there, guys. I have learned that knowledge is power and the pursuit of knowledge is a lifetime journey. Proverbs 24, verse 5. I have learned and I'm learning that we all have responsibility to be proactive in advocating for the oppressed and the victimized. 24:11 and 12 and 31:8 and 9. If anyone's interested in me emailing you this list, I'm more than happy to do that. I didn't think it was that funny, actually. I was actually being pretty sincere, but thank you. Sarcasm is fine in certain situations. Proverbs 32:1. I have learned not to rejoice. Let me just say this. I am learning not to rejoice when something goes wrong to people that have wronged me. and I'm learning rather to love them. Proverbs 24, 17, 25, 21. This is a funny one. I've learned not to hang around with the same people all the time. Proverbs 25, 17. Do not always put your foot in your neighbor's house lest he get sick of you. So if you always hang with the same people all the time, you're probably actually getting more on each other's nerves than you really realize. And they probably talk to their spouse about it when you've left. I have learned that lack of self, I'm learning that lack of self-control is costly. Proverbs 25, 28. I have learned and I'm learning that bragging and boasting about myself makes me feel good and everyone else crap. Proverbs 27, 1. It doesn't say crap in the, I added that. It doesn't say that in the New Old Testament. It says, let another person's lips praise you and not your own. Don't you love hanging out with people that just tell you how great they are from the time you meet them? I love hanging around with people like that. It's amazing. So, there's so much, there's such good company. And finally, I've learned that Proverbs 31, used wrongly, is an amazing weapon that can be used when our wives are coming back at us for something valid. It looks something like this. Hun, what is this eBay charge on our credit card? Me, when was the last time you read Proverbs 31? Gosh, you are right, Master. My apologies for questioning you, as you were. Guys, try it at home. It works every time. Just use Proverbs 31 as a weapon. It's powerful. I just want to encourage you to do that. All right, next slide. Now, so I'm closing. Really, I'm closing. Next slide. You sleep up there. You slept from like number 36 or something. All right. So this is Proverbs. So a summary of Proverbs, all of the kind of the wisdom passages from Proverbs and others. This is what happens when God's wisdom roots itself in our lives. We start to understand there's a bigger story than the immediate story that our lives are faced with. A bigger story. And this is what it says. He talks about going through all of Proverbs. This is chapter 1, verse 33. It says, but whoever listens to me, wisdom, will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. And you know what? So many of us are always thinking about when is it all going to go wrong? People think, oh, my life is starting to go well, but they're always waiting, thinking, you know what? It's not going to last. At some point, something is going to go wrong. You know, Jay shared earlier as he was praying about a missionary couple who the husband passed away and the wife ended up with four children. And how we can't even visualize that. But actually, God does not want us to live our lives in fear. He wants us to live with his wisdom rooted in our lives, with the big story arching over our lives. We have this bigger story where we actually are able to see things from a right perspective. And it does say this, that we are able to dwell secure and be at ease without the dread of disaster. At the end of the day, to the Christ follower, if disasters happen, Jesus is big enough to help us through even the biggest disasters. You know, our lives are not built on sand. Our lives are built on rock. And yes, everything above there may move and shake, and our roofs may come off once in a while, and we may have had some bad things happen in our lives, but I tell you right now, you find it difficult to survive, to go through difficult times, and you know Jesus. Could you imagine if you had no hope outside of this world? And I think as we embrace God's wisdom, we get a big story, a bigger story, and it allows us to live securely and at ease without the dread of disaster. I don't want to live every day when the phone rings thinking it's bad news. If you've got kids, you can't live like that. It'll drive you crazy, especially the first time they drive. Remember when our oldest got his driving license, I like put it off for 3-4 weeks, letting him take the car. He said, can I take the car tonight? No, I have to go to Costco. I'm just going to go, it's closed, but I'm going to go in the parking lot for an hour. Just because I really like Costco. I mean, I tried every excuse. First time he goes in the car, you just, I mean, honestly, it's just another fear scenario. And you have to come back and say, God, I trust you. I trusted you back when he was a baby. I trusted you and went to school for the first time. I trusted you and went to high school for the first time. And now I got to trust you when he drives a car for the first time. In our case, in most of our kids, it was misplaced trust, just so you know. Last final passage. And so, when I was a new Christian, I went through the New Testament. I found Paul's prayers. I thought Paul was a pretty solid guy. Let me find Paul's prayers. Because I could see there were, as I read through the New Testament, I could see Paul's prayers were sprinkled all over the place. So I cataloged them and I memorized them and I prayed them. But if I'm going to say, if you want to pray a prayer, this is, you have a struggle with your prayer life, I would tell you this is an awesome prayer to pray every day. It's awesome. And it's this. And so from this day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, Paul said, asking. So you can just, you don't have to say the first part because it's clumsy, you know? It doesn't really work. It's, God doesn't mind if you cut off the first part. Still works. So this is what you would pray. Lord, would you fill me with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding that I may walk in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That is an incredible prayer because at the end of the day, as a Christ follower, I do not want to do my own will. What did Jesus say when the disciples said to him, how do you pray? He says, pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your what? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the idea is that there is a will, a bigger story for our individual lives in heaven, and we just don't know what it is most of the time because we don't ask him enough. And we don't pray dangerous prayers like this. Fill me, Lord, with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that I might walk worthy of you, Lord, unto all pleasing, and be fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of you. Can that be the takeaway, at least for all of us? It's a simple takeaway. Colossians 1, 9 to 11. Make a prayer, memorize it, pray it every day. Pray it over your newborn, almost newborn baby or children. Pray over your kids. Lord, fill them with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they might walk worthy of you, Lord, unto all pleasing, and be fruitful in every good work. It's not just a prayer, oh, bless them, Lord, or just take care of them, or whatever. Cool prayers, but pray something really meaningful. Pray that over your kids and see what happens. Okay. You have 32 years of Christianity in about whatever minutes, a little probably over time. Okay, I'll stand. And other than Nadine, if anyone else is interested in if anyone's interested in that list and you want to help, kind of help you navigate through Proverbs, I would just say I'm more than happy to email. Just send it to mike@citygates.ca. I'll reply with that. And I will tell you this, read Proverbs. You know, if you're not a super spiritual person and you've struggled with reading some of the ethereal concepts of the New Testament or the Old Testament, then read Proverbs because it's super simple and you'll be going, wow, wow. Proverbs is a wow book. You wow all the time when you're reading it. You just wow, 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 wow. Let me pray. Lord, I'm asking you today that you would give us wisdom. And Edwina asked earlier if anybody was going through difficult times. I'm not sure if anybody put their hand up, but if they didn't, they're probably lying. Because I know there's probably people in here that are going through difficult times. And so, Lord, I'm asking for those people on their behalf that you would give them wisdom. That you would fill them with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they might walk worthy of you, Lord, unto all pleasing. They'll be fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of you. I pray, Lord, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ to be upon us. I pray, as Jesus, you've been made us unto us, sanctification, redemption, and wisdom. Lord, that the reality of that wisdom, that seed of wisdom inside of us, will grow as we feed ourselves with these wisdom passages. And Lord, that we are able to regulate our lives with the knowledge of God as foremost, in the name of Jesus. Just while your heads are bowed, I'd just like to ask, I don't know if there's anybody here who's not a Christian yet, and you've something you've wrestling with. Maybe you've had conversations with other people about being a Christian, but you just feel like, you know, maybe I need to make that next step. If that's you, I would love to pray with you. Just put your hand up. It's only me looking. Just put your hand up, bring it down, and I can pray with you afterwards. Is there anybody at all that would just say, I'm not a Christian, but I know I needed to make the next step? I was listening to you, and you're speaking a foreign language because I don't believe any of that stuff, which would be great if you felt like you wanted to learn more. So is there anybody at all? If that's you, put your hand up. I'll see it. Okay. So, Lord, I just thank you for a bunch of Christ followers here that love you. And I ask, as usual, that you would force and thrust us out into the fields that are white under harvest. You said, he who wins souls is wise. And I'm asking, Lord, that you would help us to take the gospel to the darkest areas, to our friends, neighbors, relatives, whoever it may be. Let us be ambassadors of yours, and let us represent you well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Join us for coffee, if you don't mind, in the foyer. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week. Oh, bake sale. Bring your whatever you have, credit, debit, all of the above. Thank you.